one day.
Good morning to you guys. My name is Shamar Roberts, pastor of the Blaisdell Church of the Nazarene, here with you again this Sunday morning to share with you again from God's Word. I did promise you a part two coming out of everything we discussed last week, and this week we're going to get into that part two, and I'm very excited to share with you guys on that particular scripture that we were reading in James. So we're reading the second part of James, just so you can find it in your Bibles for quick reference. It is James chapter 2, reading from verse 14 to 26. Faith without works is dead. Well, we're going to go from 14 to 17. We're also going to look at another piece of scripture, but we'll make it mainly focusing on James, faith without works is dead. I want to say a big thank you to our sponsors, Federal Mobile Spirits, as well as the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District. Let us pray before we begin. Father, we come before you now, O God, and we thank you for your presence, God. We thank you for everything that you have done for us, not just in this season, dear Father, but the things you do for us daily, O God. We thank you, dear God, that we could have celebrated Emmanuel coming to us, O God. We thank you, dear Father, that in this time we had another year to recognize you being with us, O Father, the gift that is given, the greatest gift that we have received, O Father. So may this season truly be about your arrival, about the arrival of the Messiah. And not about anything else, oh God. I mean, we focus on what that means, not just to us, but what it means to our lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go right into our scripture reading from James chapter 2, verse 14. Faith without works is dead. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Yes, we continue on into 18. It says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is a God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by his works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see, then, that a man is justified by works, and not by faith only. Now James continues on to say, likewise, was not the rabbi a harlot also justified by his works, when she received the messengers and sent them out on their way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. We can continue, but we can pause there. I love this piece of scripture. And this piece of scripture really stands out to us today. It equates faith and works. And it's not disparaging faith. He's saying that the two need to be at work within you in order to see the fullness of salvation, the completeness of that restorative salvation that God, Emmanuel, has brought to us, that greatest gift. If we have faith alone, he says, well, hey, faith alone, even the demons believe. Even the demons tremble at the name because they know the power that is that name. They know that that name is real. So having faith alone is not enough, but you need to put it in action with works. Now, instead of giving you a example from this day and age, or, you know, sometimes us as preachers, we like to make things practical and we like to use analogies, right? I'm going to use an analogy here, but instead of creating an analogy that's related to our day and age, I want to use one from the Bible. So you don't have to turn here. You could if you have the opportunity. I'm going to look at, this is Matthew chapter 25. I'm reading from verse 1. It's the parable of the 10 virgins. I'm just going to read the first part of it. Most of you may be familiar with this particular parable, but even if you are, I'll just give you the synopsis of it, even though I only read a couple of the verses. It says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some oil yourselves." I'll pause there. Basic to say, the ones who had oil were able to make it in time for the ceremony, and the door was shut. And the ones who came afterwards, who did not take any oil with their lamps, they were closed. They were not able to enter into the ceremony. They were not able to become a part of the feast because they did not prepare. They did not have the necessary oil. Now, this scripture I want to use in relation to our looking at faith and works. Faith and works. Lamp and oil. Lamp and oil. You see, too often we are given giftings. God has given us a gift. God has created us with a plan and a purpose. And I want to be very careful to distinguish between purpose and gifting, because your ability to do something, your gifting, does not mean that it's going to be your entirety or the entirety of your purpose. It will be a part. It will be the tool you use to fulfill your purpose. But we must understand that the lamp here embodies all of that. It embodies your gifting. It embodies your ability to fulfill your purpose. The thing that God has given you to fulfill your purpose. The tool in which you have been specifically given. And the thing about it is that there are only so many gifts. By name and by title, there are so many gifts that there are only so many that we can identify. And we can even see them within one another. But the individuality that God allows us to have, the way in which we are created different from one another but still so alike, is that we can have the same gifting, but the way in which we are to use it to execute our ministries, to execute our purpose, will vary and it will be different. But the point is, all of us are given lamps. All 10 of them had their lamps. Now, as for the oil, not all of them had oil. Not all of them had the ability to see the fullness of the use of that lamp. Now, I said I wouldn't bring it to a modern day comparison, right? I don't want to go there as yet, but I'll tell you a story. I have a family member, won't call any names just in case they're listening, but I have a family member. They received an air fryer some years ago, and this is a very nice air fryer. I think the brand was a Cuisine Art. It was a Cuisine Art air fryers. And if you remember correctly, about 2-3 years ago, air fryers became very popular, especially in Barbados. All the stores had them, all the people had them selling. This particular family member received that particular air fryer before the boom. You know, we saw them online and we saw the capabilities, but they hadn't yet reached the Barbados market as yet, right? So this family member, they were gifted this air fryer. And it wasn't just the air fryer, it's a 5-in-1 air fryer. This air fryer does do it all. It fries, it grills, it bakes. I think it does rotisserie, it deep fries, everything. This air fryer does everything. And they had it for some time. So I went over by them recently and I saw that they had the air fryer there and it still looked pretty new. I was like, "Wait, have you used the air fryers yet?" "Well, no, they haven't used it. It's on the counter. It still looks in good condition. It still looks nice. It's still new." "Okay, cool." I went back by them a little more recently now, and this is about 3-4 years they've had this air fryer. Maybe a little more, maybe a little less. But they've had it for some time. And when I passed it, I saw it on the same counter. I knew it wasn't plugged in. It still looks new, but I saw something orange inside of it. So when I peeped, they were keeping Eclipse biscuits. You know, the whole wheat Eclipse biscuits in the orange package. I think it's the whole wheat ones. Those were inside of the air fryer. So I asked the person, "But hey, I noticed you've got Eclipse biscuits in the air fryer." He was like, "Yeah, it stops the ants from getting to them and it keeps them fresh." Now, you could imagine the laughter that came over me. I wasn't the person who gifted them the air fryer, but I could imagine the person that did. If they come and they see that, they'd be like, "You do understand that this is a 5-in-1 air fryer that can do all kind of things when it comes to food, and you are using it to store Eclipse biscuits. What are you doing?" When you think of the possibilities that could happen with this air fryer, you are keeping biscuits in it. And I laugh. I definitely laugh because to me, it wasn't me laughing at the family member or the person who gifted him it. No. I was laughing because this is a perfect example of us and Christ. We have a lamp and we do not use it to the fullness of its ability. We have a gift and all we do with it is story clip biscuits. So much more could be done. So much more can happen if we would just seek the God who is willing to give the oil, who is more than willing, who is at liberty to pour out within us. And that's the thing about God, right? When it comes to his presence, there's no limit on the presence of his self that he wants to place within you, noting that his presence comes through prayer and studying his word and understanding that wisdom grows, that our spiritual man grows the more time we spend with him. And he's not a God that's gonna say, well, okay, we spent enough time together, you go alone. Sometimes the way in which we spend time with him, it may change. It may not always be in the word. Well, you can definitely always find more of him in the word, but it may look like actually working. But until we get to the point where we recognize that we need the oil, that we need the source, that the energy source to get this gift going, that this lamp that I have is not going to burn and burn brightly and be able to sustain me for the long road ahead if I don't seek the oil, if I don't go to the place in which the lamp came from, then I'm just going to be using my 5-in-1 air fryer to keep biscuits fresh. Every time I say it, I laugh. But that's who we are sometimes as people. That's who we are as individuals. I had the privilege of sitting down under our district superintendent's preaching, and he blessed me. Oh goodness, he blessed me. He challenged me with the question. This is last Sunday, Sunday before Christmas. He challenged me with the question, how big is the container you are bringing? How hungry are you for Christ? And he's preaching from the perspective of how thirsty are we to receive from God? Where is our passion? Not for the things of God, not for the blessings, but our passion for more of his presence. And it challenged me because me now, I'm the person now. It's not so much that I'm going to use my 5-in-1 to store biscuits. It is that I know that I need a ham. I know I need enough to eat. I know that I am hungry. But when I come to the storehouse, when I come to the person who comes and they open the pantry and God says, take anything you want, I too shame to take up the ham. I only want to take up a can of tuna. I'm using too much analogies this morning. That's the honest truth. But that's how I felt sitting out listening to Reverend Fari speak. And this is the analogy he was using for his sermon, you know. That's my issue. You know, I was brought up in a way that, you know, if mommy don't have, then you do without. Which is good to some extent, but I've taken that to another extreme where now I live in the place of a closed mouth does not get feed. And too often my mouth remains closed when I can go to a God who is more than willing to feed me. Yeah? This is a position that I find myself in far too often. So God has given us something. God has placed something within us. And it's not that we have so much value, because we still must remember our place in this earth. We come from dust and we go back to dust. But for the time that we are not dust, for the time that we have life and breath on this earth, we have a purpose to fulfill and a God who's more than willing to take us to that purpose. But if we are not willing to receive the oil, if we look at the pretty lamp and we think, well, we good enough without it, that the lamp is nice enough without him. And these are the things that we do, you know, because we get into doing ministry. We think that our voices are so nice. We think that our preaching and teaching is so good and so exegetical and so charismatic that we forget that the source of these things, the thing that will fuel this and continue it to be fueled, continue it going, is the oil. The only oil that we can receive to really fuel it comes from God. This is the mindset that we develop. This is the arrogance sometimes that we have. This is the foolishness that we indulge in, a 5-in-1, but using it to keep biscuits fresh. Yeah? But I want to move on, because now I want to speak to some of you. You see, because some of us sit down and we look at other people's giftings. We look at other people's talents. And we say to ourselves, oh, if I could just do it like they do. Or we figure, well, that person has received such an anointing, such a special oil. We like to use that word anointing as though all of us aren't anointed, or all of us cannot be anointed by God. We like to speak about special anointings that people may have that allow them the ability to operate in certain ways. And yes, we are right, it is a special anointing they receive, but it's the same oil from the same God for them to do the same thing, fulfill purpose, fulfill ministry, preach this name. So it's not so much that the oil is special. If anything, the approach of the individual is what is special, because they're no different from you and I. We are created equal in that regard. When we look at them and their ability to touch people, we tell ourselves, oh my goodness, the special oil they've received. No, it is their ability, their willingness to receive oil that is the difference between you and them. Let us pause for a second and consider that it's not so much their ability to do great things, but rather their humility, their receptiveness, their dependence upon the oil, which is something that all of us can do. That is not unique to any individual person, but it's something that all of us can have, a hunger and a thirst, a dependency, a willingness to receive. So him having the ability to preach and preach so nicely, and I say this not because I don't know what I'm talking about, because I've been in the same place. I've looked at other ministers and that person to explain the word, they do it so well, man. They have such a special ability to do that. That person who preaches, you know, people hear them and they respond in such a way, you know, so many respond. They have such a special anointing to know. They have a willingness to see God fulfilled on it, to see thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's the only difference between us and them. And I say us because I lot of myself since I've been there. So I'm saying to you who think like that this morning, no. Don't think that they have a special ability. They have a dependency. If anything, we need to develop a dependency on God. We need to develop a hunger and thirst for more of Him. We need to understand that the fullness of this lamp cannot be executed if we don't have the oil. Some of us have our jars closed. God is willing to pour out, but our hands are over the cover. So God can't pour out if you hand there. He's not going to waste the anointing. He's not going to waste the oil. If you don't want it, He's going to give it to somebody else who does. Let us take our hands off of the top of the jar, understanding that that is the thing that's hindering us. Now, in the beginning part of Faith Without Works, the part that we dealt with last week, James introduces us to the scripture by talking about favoritism. And then he talks about the partiality, the sin of partiality. We dealt with that last week. You see, this week, we're now coming to Faith Without Works. Understand that James does this methodically because he says, well, the only thing that will save you from what I have mentioned before is not just saying that you have faith, but showing that you have faith, working in that faith. Was he saying that, Bea? Just like to use putting feet to faith? Or putting faith to feet? I can't remember which one it is. Forgive me. But that's where the difference lies. James doesn't just tell us what the issue is. He doesn't just tell us or warn us what to keep ourselves away from. He acknowledges that he needs to identify what will keep us away from that. And right here we have it. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims they have faith, but they do not put deeds behind it? So when you claim that you have faith and you don't put deeds behind it, you may very well end up committing the sin of partiality that I mentioned before. The last thing he said before he goes into verse 14, he says, mercy triumphs over judgment. If this God that we serve is a God of mercy, then our faith in Him must physically working in a way that it looks like us having or being a merciful people. Us being a generous people as He is a generous God. Us having the things that the King has. If we are citizens of the kingdom, we gotta be operating the same way that He does. We gotta be carrying the example that He has shown us. And we don't have a king who sits afar off, who we are not invited into the courts to eat. We are invited to come and eat with Him, to come and sit at His table. So we see Him up close and personal. He dines with us, He talks with us, He walks with us. He's not in the kingdom as a king in the castle by himself with no one around. No, the King calls all of us who are part of His kingdom friends. And He lays example. He has laid example in His life here on earth. And He continues to lay example for us in being a merciful God, in being the loving God that He is, so that we as His citizens go and show the same to the world. Too long, we talked about Christ. We talked about God. It was something I realized the other day. I was having a conversation with a guy at work, and it was a good conversation. People may not appreciate him for the fullness of who he is, but he's very intelligent. Very, very intelligent. More than just intelligent, he's self-aware, you know? He has a certain self-awareness that much others don't have, to be honest. You know, I think sometimes people may take him to be foolish or to be a clown or to be a class clown, but no, he's way more intelligent than they think him to be. And in his intelligence, I realize, well, there's nothing that I can tell him that would convince him that God is real, that would convince him that this Christ that we serve and this word of God is the correct way to go. This is something that has to be shown to him. There are a lot of people out there in the world like that. We live in the information age. People don't so much need to hear about Jesus. A lot of people have heard about him. A lot of people know the stories. A lot of people know the word of God. What they need to see, and no, not hear, but what they need to see is Christ at work within us. Our daily activities, our works, not necessarily to make their lives better, but how we treat one another, how we treat the people around us. Faith at work. So the example that James gives is a practical example of what we can do to show the love of God, something charitable, yeah? People don't so much need the charity of us giving. Yeah, there are places for that, don't get me wrong, there are places for that. People need to see the charity of us loving, because there's so many different definitions of love out there today. And when I tell you that there are some messed up definitions of what love is to look like and what love should and should not do. So many people out there that say, I love you, and have no idea the concept of the word that they speak. What they need to see is the work of love. And if there's so many false loves and so many false gods out there, then we have to prove that this is the real God by the work that we do, by the lives that we live. Understanding, our work is our lives. Our work is the way in which we carry ourselves. And we're not putting on a show for anybody else. We have to be doing it in earnest. We have to be doing it from a place of genuinity. So it's not that I'm not going to make mistakes, but whenever I do, whether I need to apologize, whether I need to humble myself, whatever the Holy Spirit needs to do within me to make me more like Him, I'm humble enough to receive it and not arrogant and prideful that I behave as though I'm always right. I might be talking right now, you may be thinking of somebody who acts in that way, but don't think of somebody else, because a lot of us, maybe all of us, found ourselves in that position before, where we could have been more humble, where the example we showed was not what Christ wanted, where we denied God the same way the disciples did. You know that one disciple that denied God 3 times? Yeah, we did the same thing, just in a different way. But if we were to show humility, they would get to see that our God truly is working within us, that He truly is alive and making a difference, not because I see Him right before me continuously growing, because I see Him working and growing in this individual, in this person who is serving Him, who is loving Him, who is living by His standards. That is what will make the difference. Faith without work is dead. You see, the greatest gift that we received in this time was Emmanuel. I've said it for the last couple weeks, God with us. And by receiving Emmanuel, it is now for us to gift Him to everybody else who has the opportunity to hear and see us. In order to do that, we must believe, and we must work as though we believe. The two must be in tandem. It goes the other way around too, and James says it. You can't have works and not have faith, because many a person can come and do good deeds. Many a person can be morally good, but without the faith, one does not prove the other. The two have to be working together. So I want to encourage you guys today, speaking mostly to Christians today, you know, but also to those of you who may not know Christ, test it for yourself. See that faith with works makes a difference. You know, I want to encourage you guys to take this to heart, to not just have a lamp and let it sit on it, not just have a gift that God has given you and be satisfied. And I'm talking to those of you too who have been in the faith for a long time, because part of the mistake we make as well is to have a gifting and grow in that gifting to a point that we feel like we know everything about it, and we don't continue to trust in God. We've been doing it for some time. We've been singing, dancing, preaching, being an usher, the gift of hospitality. We've been doing these things for so long that, you know, we figure we have it down pat. We've become a veteran. But when we consider the God who has given the gift and the oil that He's still willing to pour out as long as we have life and breath, it means that there's always something more that we can learn. There's always somewhere more that we can grow. So let that arrogance, let that fullness, you know, let that dissipate. And let's realize there's always more room to grow, even within our gifting. So even at 40, even at 60 years old, and you've been doing this thing for how many of years, God can still take you to another level. As long as you're here on this earth. And it will bless more. It will grow your ministry. It will grow you as an individual. So yeah, I want to leave this word to you guys. I talked long enough today, so I'll end it here. I just want to say a quick prayer of all you. God, we thank you, dear Father, for this gift, but more so, we thank you for the oil. We thank you, dear Father, that you didn't just give us it and we had to figure it out by ourselves, oh God. Maybe some of us had to do that, but we thank you for this word that we have. Maybe we realize that we receive your oil through this word. We receive more of your oil, oh God, through speaking to you, through prayer, oh God, through relationship, dear Father. May we always be dependent. May we always be hungry and thirsty for more of you, oh God. Recognizing that that growth means that our ministry grows, means that our individual grows, means that the Holy Spirit within us grows. And that growth is only better for us. It's only better for those around us. It's only better for our families, for our communities, for our churches, oh God. May we find a humble place again in recognizing that the things that we want to achieve in our churches going into the new year and further on, not just in the new year, Father, the things that we want to achieve, they will easier come if there's more of your presence within us. I pray that leadership, oh God, would hear my words, dear Father, and they would heed them. May we not become arrogant. May we not think we know it all. May we remember that there's another level to go to. There's another use that God can put this lamp to, that I have only seen so much, but there's much more that God has in store that I cannot see, and I'll only get there as I trust him and I grow in him. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. So I want to say another big thank you to you guys for listening. I thoroughly enjoy sharing this message. Understand that if this message is for you, then be in the same boat, because it came to me too, and it came to me for a reason. So I want to thank you for listening. I also want to thank our sponsors again, Federal Motor Spirits, as well as the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District. And I want to wish you guys a happy new year. I know the celebrations are coming up. Do enjoy church this evening. However you bring in the new year, blessings on you and on your family as well. And I pray that God will continue to prosper you as you seek him, as you allow more of him in your life. Yeah, as we humble ourselves to recognize that he is still king, he is still God. And there's much more for us to do here on earth. So I bless you guys. Have a great day. Because